The Mom Hour is brought to you by the Essential Calendar. Sarah, this is our favorite calendar for busy moms because its beautiful and simple design shows around 3 months at a time.
Yeah, and with summer fast approaching, now is a great time to get the Essential Calendar and see what I've been raving about all these years. Get 10% off your order at theessentialcalendar.com/themomhour. That's 10% off at theessentialcalendar.com/themomhour.
Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Megan.
We're two moms with 8 kids between us, from little to grown.
We're in different areas of the country and in different stages of life.
But we both know that motherhood's a lot easier when real moms share tips and encouragement.
And remind you that it's really all going to be okay.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour. Hi, everyone. Happy December and welcome to the Mom Hour. I'm here today for one of our Voices interviews. In these episodes, Sarah and I take turns bringing you conversations with interesting people from our community and beyond. And today I'm actually talking with one of our contributors, Kia Hammond. Kia is a mom of 3 young kids and is pregnant with her 4th baby, who's due just a few weeks before Christmas. So today, Kia and I will be talking about a topic that comes up a lot in our Facebook Mom Hour listening community, and that is, how do you prepare your home and children for a new baby? I have 5 kids, so I personally have a lot of experience with this, but it's been a number of years since I introduced a new baby to my household, so it felt like a great opportunity to bring in someone who's experiencing it right now. Similar to me, Kia was young when she had her first child, and now she has 3 kids at home who are 12, 4, and 1. We talk about what it's like to introduce a baby to siblings at a variety of ages and stages. Kia was also a mother baby nurse before transitioning to a stay-at-home mom, so she has a lot of experience supporting new moms and babies. And because it's December and the holiday season is in full swing, Kia and I have some fun talking about what it's like to have a new baby around the holidays. And I should mention that we actually recorded this quite in advance of December because of Kia's due date. So this is actually recorded in late October. So you get a little sneak peek of how Kia is preparing ahead of time. Sarah, we're welcoming our sponsor, Element. That's spelled L-M-N-T, a zero-sugar electrolyte drink that leans on current science about what our bodies really need in order to deliver the most effective hydration possible. You know, Sarah, Eric is really into keeping up with health research, and he's been insisting to me for years that we actually need more salt to stay hydrated. Turns out Element agrees because they've developed their product based on a growing body of research that shows that for optimal health outcomes, we actually need to be taking in sodium levels at 2 to 3 times government recommendations. That's a big difference.
Yeah, it really is, Megan. And, you know, electrolyte deficiency or imbalances can cause headaches, cramps, fatigue, brain fog, and weakness. I know I can feel really rotten when I'm dehydrated. And also, I don't love the taste of plain water, so I'm not that great about drinking it. Element makes a huge difference in how much I'm enjoying my hydration and in how I feel, and it's super easy to fit it into my daily routine. My favorite flavor of Element is the grapefruit, but if that's not for you, we're going to get you set up with a variety pack so you can find your favorite Element flavor. Plus, Element has a no questions asked refund policy. You don't even have to send the product back to get your refund.
Yeah, you can receive a free Element sample pack containing 1 packet of 8 flavors. So you'll get 8 total packets free with any order when you purchase through our custom URL. That's drinkelement.com/momhour, DRINKLMNT/momhour. This offer is available exclusively through our partnership, and it's available for both new and returning customers. To get that offer, again, go to drinkelement.com/momhour.
Megan, let's chat a little bit about our sponsor, Factor. These are delicious, ready-to-eat meals delivered right to your door. You know, we've talked about various mealtime solutions in a lot of different ways over the years, Megan, but I have 2 teenagers now, and I have to say, having some ready-to-heat, ready-to-serve, nutritious options for my teens is great for after school. So we ate a lot of these in the after-school hours, not even just for dinner.
Oh my gosh, Sarah, I so agree. These are great for that. And Factor's meals are no fuss and no mess. There's zero prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. They just need to be heated for about 2 minutes and then they're ready to eat. I think they'd be a lifesaver in any busy season, but especially for moms with a new baby or when life is absolutely crazy with work and travel or kids' extracurriculars.
Yep, I totally agree. Factor's meals are tailored to your schedule, so you can customize your menus with options like Calorie Smart or Protein Plus, and you can pause or reschedule deliveries to fit your lifestyle.
Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. Head to factormeals.com/momhour50 and use code momhour50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code momhour50 at factormeals.com/momhour50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Hi, Kia. Thank you so much for being on the Mom Hour.
Hi, Megan. I'm so glad to be here.
Well, I know that our listeners are just going to love hearing from you. Before we dive in to the whole conversation, just tell us about you, where you live, who lives in your household, your kids and their ages.
Sure. So my name is Kia. I live in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania with my husband and our three kids. So my oldest daughter is 12 and a half. My second daughter is 4. And then we have a 19-month-old son.
And you're due in December with your fourth baby. So you're going to have a pretty closely spaced, number 3 and 4.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm curious. Did you always want a bigger family? Did you think you would have a bigger family?
Oh, I knew I always wanted a bigger family. I'm actually the oldest of 6 kids. Mm. My husband is an only child, so we compromised at 4. I really wanted 5. After I had my third, we compromised at 4. So yes, I'm really excited. The 3rd and 4th would be 21 months apart. And wow. I've always wanted to do 2 under 2.
Yeah.
So I'm excited.
Yeah, it's fun. I've done that actually twice. And it is kind of like having a baby and then a slightly bigger baby, but it's really fun. Yeah. And they do grow up very close. It's fun to watch them start to play together. I have to laugh that you said you compromised at 4 because baby number 4 compromises have a way of turning into baby number 5 compromises.
You know, I hear that about once a week.
Not trying to put that on you, but I'm just saying, whenever I hear we decided to stop at 4, I always think, so that's what I thought. So you've done this a few times. I am curious, has this pregnancy been different for you than the others? I know they're always a little bit different, but tell me how this one's been unique.
Yeah, this one is different in that my belly is actually not as big as it was previous pregnancies. I feel really pregnant right now. I'm 34 weeks, but at the same time, sometimes I'm I don't feel that pregnant. My sisters will sometimes tell me, you don't really look that pregnant. You just look a little fat in the midsection.
Right.
My face hasn't really blown up. Sometimes you get the weight all over. And that definitely happened with all of my pregnancies, except this one. So I'm feeling a lot better physically in this pregnancy. That's a good surprise, actually.
That is a good surprise. And usually it doesn't go in that direction than more babies you have. So I'm really happy for you. Yes. I'm laughing because I'm just thinking back to, having my 5, how people always had opinions about the way I was carrying and what that meant. It means the baby's going to be a boy or a girl or, whatever. Mm. This is how the labor is going to go. Have you seen with your other babies, any correlation between the way you carried them and literally anything else? Or do you think it's just random?
So I hear it every single day. We actually don't know the gender of this baby. It's going to be a surprise, but my entire family has gone so far as to, they just call the baby him now because everybody assumes that it's going to be a boy because they say that I carry a lot, carry the same like my son, where I am more belly. And like I said, with my girls, I got the full round face and such.
Yeah.
So it's a little aggravating the further I get that everyone is just assuming that it's a boy because I'm are you guys going to be disappointed if it's a girl?
Right. Yeah.
So yeah, I've been getting that every day, basically.
Well, it's funny because not only I'm sure are you getting that, but everyone's got an opinion that has something to do with your, when are you going to have the babies? They're going to be early or late. You know what I mean? Everyone turns into psychics when you're pregnant.
Yes. And what I noticed is that not knowing the gender gives people, they think they have the freedom to say even more comments about your body.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, you're definitely having a boy because your butt's not as big as it was when you had a girl, things that.
Thanks for noticing.
I know. So that is something. And everyone wants to comment on, what the baby's weight is going to be. I usually have close to 9-pound babies. So everybody wants to guess the baby's weight. And so everybody, has a lot of opinions.
I think that that is the case no matter like which pregnancy, number of pregnancy you're on, how big your family is. But it feels like when you've got a big family, by the time you get around to baby number four or five, you're like, okay, I've heard it all. Like, none of you are that clever.
I've heard it all. And I'm like, well, we've got a 50-50 chance here. So you could be right or you could not.
Right. Exactly. Well, let's talk about preparing your family for the new baby, because I know that can be something kind of tricky to do when you've got multiple kids and you've got kids at really different ages and stages. For example, you have a teenager. So how did you tell her about, you know, this upcoming baby number four? How did she react?
So it's funny because we were actually, me and my husband were really nervous to tell my oldest that we were expecting again. She just had really strong opinions that she did not want another sibling when we talked about having another one. So we were really, really nervous. And she ended up being so happy and excited, just as excited as she was for the other younger two. So we told her with an ultrasound picture, like we did all the other ones. And so she was really excited, but they will be almost 13 years apart.
Yeah.
So that's a big difference. And I realize that, although I know that they can still have, you know, just as lovely as a relationship as, you know, the baby and this new baby.
Right. Yeah. I think there's actually something really special about the relationship between a teenage or much older sibling. It's like they get to kind of just interact with them differently. And there's not that sort of tussle for attention quite the same way. So I think that's really fun. I'm curious, was she, when you said she used to not want you to have another at all, was that when she was maybe younger and like really, and maybe also looking at like how kind of chaotic it can be to have younger siblings and being like, oh man, like enough?
So I think it was, it's the chaos. Mind you, all last year, she stayed home with me and the two little ones because of COVID. She didn't go to in-person school. So she was just with them every day, all day. And then I think us mentioning, you know, wanting to try for another baby, she's like, oh, I cannot do it.
Right.
She couldn't handle another little human running around. but she's gotten used to the idea now.
Good. Well, I'm glad. And I'm hoping that they'll have, you know, at some point a strong relationship. And I'm sure she's going to be really helpful. I hate to put that on her. But that is kind of like, that kind of ends up being the teenager's role. Right.
And the nice thing is my baby sister is actually 10 years younger than me. And we are still very close. I'm 28. She's 17. And so she sees that. And I think that gives her a lot of hope of what our what their relationship could look like, you know, as life goes on. So that's nice.
Yeah, I'm the youngest of four. And my oldest sister is 10 years older than me with two boys in the middle. And like, it's great. We're really close. We weren't, you know, there was times when she was just kind of off doing her thing. And I wasn't really like, you know, part of her life so much. But then as soon as kind of I got to be into my later teens, we started hanging out a lot. And then once we both had kids, it was like, you know, we're inseparable. So I really think that can happen. And just like with any age spacing, there's going to be ebbs and flows. Like there's going to be times when they're close and times when they can't stand each other. And that's just kind of how it goes, right?
Absolutely.
Well, what about your four-year-old daughter? Is there anything you've specifically done to prepare her for the new baby? I know that, you know, when last time you had a new baby, she was really little, and that's a big difference now. So how has that felt this time?
Yeah, so she was 2.5 when my son was born. And the really sucky thing with COVID is she can't come to doctor appointments anymore. Mm-hmm. And she went to all doctor appointments with him. So that really prepared her, I think, you know, listening to the baby every week and such. But I will say she is the most excited child. I mean, she wants to feel my belly and baby kick every day. She gives baby kisses. She likes to guess if it's a boy or a girl. She knows both names. We practice still a lot of baby doll, you know, play, just being gentle. And because she's at preschool and germs, we really focus on making sure that she's kissing baby's feet. We don't want, like, you know, everybody kissing all over the baby's face when they bring a germ from their different schools. And a lot of books we have that prepare her for baby, and she loves to read them every single day. And one thing I did really special with her and my son, she picked out the baby's lovey. All my kids have had loveys. And so that was really special. So I plan on taking the youngest two again to pick out a lovey for this baby. That's a lot.
I mean, there's just a lot of like moving parts and things to think about. And the COVID thing, man, that really complicates everything. I'm curious, has that been, has that impacted, besides, you know, not being able to bring her to your appointments and things like that, is that going to impact your maternity care or anything like that?
It is, just because we have such a big family. So we have people from so many different households that usually come and visit and help. And this is now my second COVID baby,
right?
You know, where I'm postpartum with COVID, and we're not feeling comfortable with having a bunch of different households in and out at the same time. So it'd be more like a one-on-one kind of thing. My husband does not get a great paternity leave this time. So we are going to be relying on, you know, some family help to take kids to and from practices and preschool and such. But yeah, I anticipated it being lonely, but hopefully not as lonely as when we first went into, you know, like quarantine with the pandemic.
Right. And will your hospital experience be different this time around than it has been in the past?
So it actually will not be, because with our third baby, we decided we didn't want any visitors in the hospital. It was really overwhelming. The first two babies, having everyone in when you're freshly bleeding and leaking,
right?
And,
yeah,
and a lot of pain and trying to, you know, bond with the baby. So with our third baby, we loved having it just us in the hospital. It was really, really good for us, you know, me and my husband to bond with the baby. And so we will not be having any visitors per hospital rules, but that's okay with us.
Yeah. Well, good.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad that worked out. And actually, it could kind of be like a, you know, if you didn't decide that for yourself, but you were a mom who could kind of use that as an excuse, I bet there's a lot of pregnant moms right now like, sorry.
Yep.
I'm just so bummed out that you can't come visit in the hospital. Maybe next time.
Yes.
Well, what about your youngest? You know, not even two is very little. And it's not always easy to prepare someone under two for the arrival of a new sibling. So I'm curious how that's gone.
So yeah, he has absolutely no idea. He'll be 21 months old when the baby born, like I said. So we've just been doing, he likes to play with my belly, but he's a little bit rough. So I've been really focusing on being gentle with dolls with him and kissing the baby's feet and how we rock them really slowly. And I'm a big baby wearer when I have newborns. So I actually got them a ring sling to carry their little dolls and stuffed animals in.
It's like the cutest.
So what I'm thinking is when I'm wearing the baby, when I'm doing whatever, he can wear his little doll or animal as well. And that will help with, you know, him being really needy as well, seeing me hold a baby. and then a nursing basket. When I was a postpartum nurse, I always recommended if you have a young toddler to have like a nursing basket for fun things for him to do just when you're nursing. So I have that ready for him. And we read a lot of books with him as well. I'm really interested to see how it goes once baby is here.
Right. Yes. He'll be like, wait, this isn't like carrying a stuffed animal in a sling. Yeah. This is like something completely different. Well, you know, we talked about preparing each of your kids individually, but I'm curious, like for your family as a whole, and that includes you as well. Mm-hmm. Do you have a piece of advice or a tip for a family with kids of varying ages to kind of get the family unit ready for a new baby?
So family unit wise, we've been actually changing our house a lot to make our home more comfortable for a baby. And there's going to be a bassinet in our living room. We just rearranged all of our furniture to have more open space in our living room. I have a new nursing chair that's there, like in the center of the living room. So the kids know that mom's going to be there a lot, but they have all this open new space to play now right in front of me when I'll be there with baby. And then our kitchen is changing a little bit as well, because now I have like a nursing cabinet that I'm going to have with like all the bottles and the pump stuff. And one big thing, I had a good conversation with my oldest, is I had postpartum depression with both of my last two babies, and they were very much breastfeeding related. So talking to her about, you know, the emotional changes that I'll be going through, because I know she's old enough to see them. And so she saw me crying a lot and such with, you know, my last two babies. And now she's a lot older, and just explain to her, you know, that it's normal sometimes, and that I'll be okay. And, you know, as a family unit, we'll all work through it. And sometimes that's just what happens when you're postpartum. Also, the good thing everybody loves is all the snacks that I'm preparing to have on hand.
Yes, I love it. That's a perk, right?
Yes. So, yeah, stocking the fridge and the pantry and having a way more snacks than usual. Everybody's getting used to that.
Well, I like how you know, are putting this focus on really preparing your home, because everyone lives in the home. And sometimes it's surprising how little changes can make such a big difference. Just having the right things on hand when you need them, when you have a new baby, or like having the configuration of like the furniture being right. These things that like maybe you can get kind of used to what the way they are, but then you bring a new baby in the mix and you're like, oh man.
Yes. And I didn't want to make those huge changes right when the baby got there. So it would be so much change at once. And yeah, so we keep things like the diaper cart and the diaper caddy where the toddlers can hand me a diaper if I need one so they can feel like they're helping. So that's nice. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really smart. And I also love that you're talking with your kids about emotional changes. I think that's really important because we're all going through them when there's a new baby in the house, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes like I feel like kids often look to mom, sometimes even, you know, your spouse looks to mom to almost like set the emotional, you know, tone for the household. And so when your emotions are all thrown off, it can throw everybody off. So I think it's really smart that you talk like proactively about that.
Absolutely. I think it's really important for me to normalize it. Like, you know, mom just had a baby and these things, this is going to happen one day if you have a baby too, and that's okay. And having the support and still my people that, you know, I love the most around me is, you know, that's still what I need. I don't need you guys to run in the other room because mom's a little bit emotional today.
Right. Yeah. I love that.
Megan, I was really unsettled when I learned that most nonstick pans today are made with PFAS, also called forever chemicals, which resist breaking down in our bodies and are really coming under fire for their health risks. Our sponsor, Our Place, offers cookware and more with durable, toxin-free ceramic coatings so you can feel good about what you're using to cook, bake, and serve your food in.
Yeah, Sarah, I have committed to replacing all of my old cheap, beat-up cookware that has those flaky, forever chemical-laden surfaces with high-quality, non-toxic pots and pans instead. And chances are you don't really need as many cookware pieces as you might think you do. I got to try the Mini Home Cook Duo from Our Place, which contains the Mini Perfect Pot and Mini Always Pan. And honestly, just between these two pieces, I have like 75% of my needs covered. So you don't have to replace everything you have. You could just start small, invest in one or two pieces to start, and go from there. It's a great way to declutter your kitchen, and this cookware is seriously beautiful. Like, leave it out on the counter all the time, beautiful.
Well, in addition to cookware, Our Place has basically all the kitchen categories covered, including small appliances, servingware, and tableware. We got two sets of the Night and Day glassware, which are these beautiful everyday glass tumblers. They come in both tall and short, and in really gorgeous shades of tinted glass. And then we also got some of Our Place's scratch-resistant stoneware serving dishes, and I am obsessed. Like, my whole tablescape is more modern and minimal looking, and I'm having so much fun mixing and matching the Our Place stuff with what we already own.
Our Place offers a 100-day trial with free shipping and returns, and we've got a great deal for you. Go to fromourplace.com and enter code MOMHOUR at checkout to receive 10% off site-wide. That's fromourplace.com and code MOMHOUR.
We are welcoming back our sponsor, Hiya Health, today. Megan, a family's nutrition is a big mental load on moms. We're all trying to feed our families foods that are both wholesome and that they'll actually eat, right? Well, thankfully, Hiya is helping lighten that mental load on moms with their kids' daily multivitamin that helps fill in the gaps in kids' diets. Parents can feel good about Hiya vitamins because they have no gummy junk or artificial anything, and they ship directly to your door on a pediatrician-recommended schedule.
Your first month comes with a reusable glass bottle your kids can personalize with stickers, and then every month, Hiya sends a no-plastic refill pouch of fresh vitamins, which means Hiya isn't just good for your kids, it's also better for the environment.
Hiya's chewable kids vitamin is made with a blend of 12 organic fruits and vegetables and then supercharged with 15 essential vitamins and minerals. They're also vegan, dairy-free, allergy-free, gelatin-free, and nut-free.
We've worked out a special deal with Hiya for their best-selling children's vitamin. Receive 50% off your first order. To claim this deal, go to hiyahealth.com/momhour. This deal is not available on their regular website. Go to hiyahealth.com/momhour and get your kids the full body nourishment they need to grow into healthy adults.
Okay, Kia. So we spent some time talking about getting your kids and your home ready for a new baby, but I also want to spend some time talking about you. So how do you, as the mom to your fourth baby, get ready?
So this is actually the main thing I've been preparing for this entire pregnancy. I think the more babies you have, the more you realize how much you need to prepare.
Right.
So the baby could just follow along with what I do. But
Right.
Yeah. So most importantly, I would say, and I didn't learn this until my third baby, was having a postpartum wardrobe and having it like easily accessible. There's nothing worse, and I've done it with my other two babies, than like coming home and you're like, I can't find anything to wear. And
it's so demoralizing, isn't it? Oh my gosh. Yes.
So I actually converted my entire dresser to everything that I can wear third trimester and postpartum. And I've stocked up on comfy clothes to wear this entire pregnancy. So yeah, I'm really excited about that. It's my second time doing this, like I said, and it was a huge help having that postpartum dresser.
Oh my gosh. It sounds like I wish I had done something like that. It sounds like just like, it's just so nice to feel like you're not just in the same sloppy sweats that you've been wearing that are all spit up on because nothing else fits or you can't find it. I just think that's really smart.
Yeah. Also, we keep our babies in our room with us for like, it ranges. So I'll say anywhere from like 6 to 12 months. Until they're that old. So yeah, we have a pretty decent sized master bedroom. And so we have a spot for this baby. It's where the other two babies went. So that's getting put together. I also really love the app Hatch Baby. So I know some people are like, you don't need the time feedings, just, you know, feed on demand and stuff. But because I've experienced so many nursing problems and like baby weight problems and such, it really is like mind easing for me to see when baby last fed and for how long. So I always recommend that app. You can track like their weights and their dirty and wet diapers and such like that. So I always use that app.
I could totally see how something like that would be, you know, for some moms, maybe that would make you obsess about something you don't need to obsess about and would stress you out. But like, I could totally also see how it could give you peace of mind. Like it would help you, I don't know, see what's happening and just feel a little more, not in control, because you don't really ever have control, right? But like, at least like, you know what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a big help because even my husband would have it on his phone and I'd say, go ahead, start the timer. I put it on the left side. So yeah, I think it's a personality thing. I think that if you become too obsessive with it, then maybe stop using it or don't get it. But it's always been really helpful for me. And then my third thing that I always do is have like a nursing caddy that I carry around upstairs and downstairs. So it's like a big felt basket kind of, and I have everything from snacks to ibuprofen to like my pump and nipple ointments and a change of nursing bra and those things that I carry up and down the steps and have at my bedside at night for the baby. So I've already got that packed as well.
Wow. Okay. So Kia, I mean, it's obvious that you're a planner.
Yes.
Have you learned with each, you know, subsequent baby, like when to start this planning, like what routine to get yourself into, or is it, did you kind of have it figured out from baby number one?
Definitely did not have it figured out for baby number one. So I think honestly, it wasn't until preparing for my third baby that I got so kind of organized. And I have a lot of that to contribute to me being a postpartum nurse and knowing more of what to do. So yeah, I've definitely learned as I've kept having babies, and honestly, every baby I add a little something different. So this baby, instead of turning on the bedside lamp, Amazon has this cute little like it's like a round light, and it's very dim, but it's the perfect amount of lighting for your bedside to see to nurse your baby without waking the baby up too much with bright light. So I added that to my little nursing caddy that I'll have. So every baby I kind of find something new.
Right. Like something you didn't know you needed. And then you're sitting there trying to nurse the baby in the middle of the night and not turn the lights on. You're like, oh, you know what would really be great right now?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Well, you're going to be bringing your baby home in the holiday season, which is busy to begin with. And now we'll be like even more busy. So you've mentioned that it sounds like you kind of like to hole up with just your family. You like to kind of keep it little more laid back. How are you going to sort of, I don't know, navigate that coming into the holiday season?
So it's something we've been talking about a lot because we have such a big family, and we always actually host the big Christmas Eve like party every year. So it was kind of, everybody was a little disappointed that we're not doing that this year, but everyone of course understands. So we're just going to keep it very small. Everybody can come in by Christmas. The baby will be like almost a month or like 3 weeks old.
Right.
So people can come one by one. As far as gifts for the kids, I'm usually a pretty late shopper, but we decided actually on November 1st, we're going to start getting our Christmas shopping checked off. So we're going to start that early. And then a big thing me and my husband love to do is every year after everyone leaves after the Christmas Eve party, we get all the gifts out on the floor, you know, have some wine and have like the best time ever wrapping gifts until like 4 a.m. Obviously, that's not going to happen this year. So I'm not exactly sure when we're wrapping yet. Maybe we'll have, you know, the little babe with us while we wrap a little bit earlier. But
yeah. And so much of it depends on the baby's personality, right? Because you might have a baby who sleeps like 3 hours at a stretch. And wow, that gives you so much time to wrap and decorate and all that. Or you might have a baby that needs to be held constantly. And so you just don't know. You just don't know. Yeah. Well, is there anything else you're doing to prepare your household? Just knowing that, like, you know, for the kids, even things are going to be a little bit different this year. What do they think about all this, and how are you preparing?
So I think just reminding them, this is mainly for the 4-year-old and the 12-year-old, that the baby is going to be on me a lot. my 4-year-old actually calls breastfeeding eat boob. So we still call it that. So I'm like, baby's going to be eating boob a lot, guys. So that's why we set the living room up the way we did, so that I can still be centered. Now, last time we did not do that. So I was either in my bed a lot with the baby or on the couch. So I think that this change for the living room is going to be really good for the family in general. Also reminding them that, you know, nanny is going to be picking you up from preschool these days, you know, a lot coming up when the baby's here. And my oldest is in cheerleading year round. So it was really hard to tell her, you know, I'm not going to be able to make it with a new baby, or even so postpartum, you know, so really postpartum, nursing this baby all the time to your competitions. And just letting them know all these changes early in advance, so it's not such a surprise.
Well, it sounds like, I mean, I have had now, I didn't ever have one really close to the holiday, but I did have my fourth on December 6th, which is very close to your, you know, your due date. And I actually just really loved having like a baby in the house at Christmas. It was just, it was very special. I barely remember the details of that Christmas. Like, I can't really remember what I gave the other kids. I can't really remember. I don't really remember if anyone, I think we still had family come over like over the holiday season, but there's a lot, it's very blurry, but I also just remember it feeling really special. So I'm excited for you about that.
I've always wanted a Christmas baby. So this is seriously like such like a dream come true for my last baby.
I love it. And then, you know, they're also the little onesies, like the holiday themed onesies and stuff like that is so cute.
So I have them already picked out.
Oh, good. I love it. Yes. What's this? What is the trend right now? Is it like what are babies wearing at Christmas these days?
Lots of plaids. They're all different color of plaids and, you know, different stripes and such. So and then the fun thing is the gender neutral part of it, so they can match. The baby's going to match with all the kids.
Right. Yeah. Oh, I love it. Oh my. My bigger kids have always done matching jammies, and I wish I would have started that when they were really little and I could match the baby to them. I didn't start getting them the footy jammies until they were all a little bit older. And I think my youngest was like 4 by then. So
yeah, it's really fun to do every year. The kids all look forward to it. And then the fun thing is I can pass down the pajamas to the rest of the kids.
down the line.
Yeah.
Do you typically do like a holiday Christmas card or Christmas photo or anything like that that you're having to kind of rethink this year?
Yes, actually, we are doing our family pictures next week, November 2nd. And I'm like, oh, but the baby's not going to be it. And that's supposed to be a Christmas card. The baby's going to be here by Christmas. So now I'm like, I don't know what we're going to do.
Oh, my gosh. You could always like take a photo of the baby after he or she is born and then like superimpose it into your arms like, over the bump.
or put it in the tape that picture to the back of the Christmas card, like, oh, by the way, this little one's here too.
By the way, this happened. I mean, no one's going to expect you to fit in a photo session with a newborn, you know, 3 weeks before Christmas.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But that would be fun to do and include the baby too. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about gifts for new moms and new babies around the holidays. So you're gonna be there as a brand new mama at mm-hmm. Christmas, and I'm wondering if you have anything that in the past, whether it's Christmas or not, has been your favorite gift to receive as a new mom or favorite gifts to give as a new mom or to new moms, and then anything special you're hoping for this year?
Yeah, so I'll start with what I'm hoping for this year. So, you know, when you're up nursing a baby all night, your phone usually is your main source of entertainment. Mm-hmm. So trying to cut back on screen time, what I started doing with my last baby was listening to audiobooks and, of course, podcasts while I was up during the night. So I asked for a bunch of Audible credits.
Nice.
And which is also why I think giving a gift to a new mom like AirPods is really nice, because then baby doesn't have to hear the loud noise of, you know, your podcast or audiobook, but you can still listen with one AirPod.
Yes.
Also, my Kindle was a great gift that I got last year. That I really loved with having a nursing baby all night. And then I just feel like you can't go wrong with gift cards to coffee places and the mom's favorite clothing store, because, you know, your body's changing so much. So mom might want a few new comfy pieces.
Yeah. I love the suggestion of audiobook credits, because you're right. I mean, when you're up in the middle of the night looking at your phone, there weren't even really smartphones last time I was up nursing in the middle of the night. But, you know, I remember anything that was bright that I looked at would wake me up, you know.
Yes.
So listening to something like maybe kind of a quieter book or something like that can maybe kind of keep you in that lull, that like slightly sleepy mode, so that after baby's done, you can put baby back down and then you can go back to sleep. And I think that the Kindle, like on its lowest brightness setting, can also be great for that. Like I'll read if I wake up in the middle of the night and can't fall back to sleep. And I'll just basically read till I pass out, but like on the darkest setting. So I'm kind of having to like squint my eyes a little bit, and then it doesn't wake up anybody else in the room, including your baby.
Yeah,
those are great suggestions. What about a brand new baby? I mean, it's really hard to give gifts to a newborn, but yet like, you know, everyone's going to ask you what the baby wants or what you want for the baby. And it's also nice to have that opportunity to maybe get some things that you didn't think to buy before the baby came. So what's on your list?
So one thing I always get a new mom during Christmas, if they are for the baby, if they don't already have one, is a baby carrier, because I think that sometimes you don't think that you'll need one so much, but then when you get it, you're like, oh, this is life changing. So I love gifting that. And then some things that I'll put on my baby's list, because like you said, people are going to insist, is, the Love Every kits. High contrast cards for baby when, you know, they're a little bit older. Personalized blankets. I feel like you could never go wrong with those, because you just keep them forever.
Yes, yes, so
blankets,
so true.
You know, the little cute blankets from, I think it's Pottery Barn with their names on it, is always like such a treasure to have.
Yeah.
And then fun things that baby will use when they're older, like the feeding teethers that you like stick strawberries and blueberries in, stuff that they could use when they're a little bit older.
Right. But maybe you didn't think to buy. Because there's like that category of stuff that's like for the baby when they're a little older, but you don't think about it when you're maybe registering for your baby shower. So those are really fun. And Love Every, of course, is someone we've worked with as a sponsor. We think they're a great company. They just have really beautiful, beautifully curated toys and activities for little babies on up. So that's a really great gift. Let's talk about baby carriers really quick, because I think you're right. Not everyone will have one. You might think it's really obvious, but not everyone gets one. And sometimes I think that's because there's like so many options out there that if you're not super into slings and carriers, it can be a little overwhelming. And I always found it helpful to have a variety of them. So, you know, you might like a ring sling for just popping the baby in for a quick tool around the kitchen or something. But then if you're going to be really wearing them for a long time, you might want something like a Mobi wrap. So curious what your favorite slings are or carriers and the ones that you most often give as gifts.
Yeah. So you are exactly right with having different ones. So I kind of have a problem with collecting baby carriers. I have a lot. So I really love the ring sling for newborns.
Okay.
I like that more than the Solly baby wraps, because Solly baby wraps can get really frustrating. And I think those wraps with all the wrapping can really turn off new moms. So I'm all for saying get the ring sling if you are opposed to all the wrapping or nervous about all the wrapping.
I remember definitely when I first got the wrap and loved it. I loved how comfy it was, mm-hmm. but the baby fell asleep. And then I got back and I'm like, well, now what do I do?
Yeah.
How do I get this baby out of this thing? And I have this funny memory of me laying over my baby, trying to untangle myself from the wrap without waking the baby up. And it was I was all sweaty by that point. And so it was great for certain things, but it wasn't the easiest entry point.
Yeah. And a lot of times you need help with those wraps.
Right?
So if you're home by yourself, you don't need help with the ring sling.
Right.
I also really love, I think they're called Kite Baby, is kind of like a Moby wrap, but it's already done for you. So it's like a shirt that you put on, and then there's another piece of fabric you tie around the baby. So it's like the same thing without all the hassle, and you only need yourself to do it.
Wow.
Ergo Baby is also one of my other favorite ones, because you can wear them front or back, and it's really supportive. So sometimes you know how your back can hurt if mm-hmm. you're wearing baby for a long time. It has really good lumbar support. So yeah, those are my top three ones that I love.
I had an Ergo too and loved it, especially for longer, getting out of the house with it. I thought that was perfect. And I switched back and forth a lot between a pouch sling and a ring sling. And I'm trying to remember, I know there's probably been so many more brands that have come out, but there was kind of an explosion of possibilities of baby wraps and slings when between my fourth and fifth pregnancies. Kind of a long time ago now. And the big brands then were Maya Wrap. And I think I had a Maya Pouch. And I'm trying to remember what the name of the really popular ring sling was at the time. What's what's the one everyone thinks of now?
I have it right here.
There was actually a really funny one called Over the Shoulder Baby Holder, which always made me laugh, but it had tons of padding, so I never bought one.
Wild Bird is the one that I have.
Oh,
they have really nice patterns, and they have some with extra thick fabric so that you can carry a bigger baby for longer periods of time. So yeah, the ring slings are the ones that I always love to gift as well.
Well, we should have you do a whole tutorial for our website on slings, because I bet moms would love it. Oh my gosh, what a fun thing to think about. I just love that cozy feeling of shopping for those. So
yes.
I love it. Well, Kia, this has been so fun. I have loved talking with you about getting ready for a new baby, especially when you're, creating this, you're really going from bigger to big now. I think four is is that cut off, right? How does that feel to you now to be kind of going into the, into the ranks of the truly big family?
Yeah, because all of our friends thought we're crazy for having three, and now we're having four, and they're well, you guys are just over the top now. So, but you know what? Growing up with such a big family, I'm like, we got this.
Right.
I'm so excited, and I just tell my husband all the time, imagine what our holidays are going to look like when our kids are older, and they each have a spouse, so we have eight kids in the house,
right?
So I honestly love the chaos. Having one kid for a long time was so different for me because it was so quiet, so I need the chaos, and I just love it and embrace it.
And some of us really thrive in it, and honestly, another thing I always try to remind people when they would kind of freak out about how many kids I had is four kids isn't four times the work of one kid. You're not having four babies all at once. You're having you're spread out. You've got routines down. There are different stages, and it adds to the chaos and it adds to the work, but not exponentially,
Absolutely. And I totally agree with you, especially with my kids being all different ages and stages. It's a lot different having a newborn than it is having, a tween. So their needs are different, which makes my experience as of momming them a lot different. I'm not changing four kids' diapers,
Right. Yeah. And I think for me, really the four, three was when I kind of threw my hands up and realized I can't, I'm outnumbered. I can't control everything. And then four was when I really got my groove. So I think number mm-hmm. four is great. And I bet you're going to just really you're probably already almost there, but you're really going to hit your stride with this one.
I think so.
Well, thank you so much, Kia. This has been great. Can't wait to hear about your baby when he or she is born. And then we get to find out the name, which I'm sure you're not telling anyone because they always have opinions about that too as well, right?
We do share the names, but they have their opinions, of course.
They have their opinions. Well, we can't wait to find out and just enjoy your holiday season with that new little baby and your newly expanded family.
Thank you so much for having me, Megan.
Well, thanks everyone for listening to this episode of the Mom Hour. Like always, you can find everything we talked about in the show notes for today's episode. And we will be back on Sunday with a More Than Mom episode where Sarah and I are going to share some of the best gifts we've ever gotten, as well as some great mom gifts from our contributor team. So talk to you then. Sarah, I started a Substack last spring, just kind of as an experiment, and it turns out I love it. I'm treating it kind of like an old school blog, writing about things that are happening in my life.
Megan, I've loved following your stuff on Substack, and I actually just really like Substack in general.
You know, we've both been a lot less active on Instagram lately, and I'm finding that Substack scratches that itch to connect and create without all the busyness of a typical social media feed. So I would love it if Mom Hour listeners wanted to look me up there. I'm at meganfrancis.substack.com, and that's Megan with two A's. meganfrancis.substack.com. Sarah, I have been having just the best time making my new podcast, The Teas Made. I launched back in November, and so far I've covered topics like staying warm on cold winter walks, nurturing creativity, how to be a great host, and even Nordic secrets to loving winter.
Well, you know I am fan number one of The Teas Made. It's got such a cozy vibe, and it seems like you've really hit your stride in covering topics like wellness, self-care, comforting rituals and routines, and home and family life.
Just look for The Teas Made with Megan Francis wherever you get your podcasts, or head to theteasmade.com to find all the episodes.